So you'll recall we started this program by asking you if social media has degraded writing skills for you or your kids. And boy, did you have some things to say about that.
Hi, I'm Sanford Schumann from West Palm Beach, Florida. I've become a better writer. I communicate more. And because I know more people will see what I write, I edit much more. It's easy with the thesaurus and dictionary online and websites that give me information and fact-checking. I'd say my final product ends up much shorter but way more clear and I think more entertaining than it started. And the feedback is encouraging.
This is Jones, and texting and social media have definitely hindered my daughter's writing abilities. All communications with their friends is in shorthand with no punctuation, no capitalization. They were actually better spellers in fifth grade than now in high school. We even got them keyboard phones specifically to help with that, and I simply don't reply to any texts from them, which are not in English, except to maybe reply with what.
So a very concerned mom there and a smiley-faced adult writer from West Palm Beach, Florida. We promised that we would have a couple of teachers talk about their observations on all this later in the program, but we want to bring the teachers in right now to respond to some of your many comments. Andrew Simmons, high school English teacher from California. Andrew, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
And Jessica Leahy is a middle school Latin and English teacher from New Hampshire. Taking a little time off, Jessica, but thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
All right. So both of you have experience with students. We want to hear about that a little later in the hour. But can you respond to the, sort of best case and worst case scenarios that our listeners related there, Andrew?
I would agree in some sense with both of the callers. I would say that the second caller is absolutely right. English conventions have certainly gone out the window as social networking, social media has become more prominent in the lives of students. I would also agree to some extent with the first caller. You might be writing 40 characters or less, but you are thinking at least to some extent about the craft of it.
So Jessica, would you agree that Joan, our mom there, is a bit of fighting an uphill battle trying to get her daughters to respond to the disciplines of language these days?
I think she has a point. Brevity is key when it comes to texting and email. We also have autocorrect on Facebook, but I actually don't think that many students actually bother to use the autocorrect because it's really about responding as quickly as possible and the rules of English language be damned. But I think there is a plus to be said for adults using it in the sense that I think we do have to at least consider the fact that we're going to have a much larger audience if we're putting something out there for mass consumption. I know I'm extremely careful with my work when I publish online, but I can't say that the same is can be said for the students' work.
Listen to this from San Antonio, Texas. I'm a high school history teacher. I do not blame social media for the kids' poor writing skills. The problem is that they do not read enough formal writing and therefore are unable to translate those skills. We need to get our kids reading more books in addition to their use of social media because it's not going anywhere, social media anyway. Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, of course students should read books. I don't think social media is necessarily some disease that's going to prevent students from reading books. In school, students need to learn the value of reading. So teachers and parents and mentors have a job to do, of course, with respect to that.
All right, we're going to leave you with one last comment here.
This is Aisha from Auburn Hills, Michigan, and I'm a better writer on social media because with limited space to share ideas, sentence structure and word choice is extremely important.
Everybody needs an editor, Jessica, and social media constitutes that listener's editor. What do you think?
I'm a big fan of density in writing, but again, I have to say that I think that haste is the big word of the day when it comes to responding in social media. You want to be the first one to get there with the first comment, and there's a huge amount of rush in that. So I think the brevity issue kind of gets outweighed by the haste issue.
All right. Well, we will observe your experiences with actual students when we come back a little later this hour. Andrew Simmons is a high school English teacher from California, and Jessica Leahy is a middle school Latin and English teacher. She writes the Parent Teacher Conference column for the New York Times. Stay with us, guys. Let's go back to our discussion now of language and social media and the teaching of writing skills in our time. So many of you sharing your experiences, a lot of anxiety about emoticon speak, also a lot of enthusiasm about kids writing more, even if it is online. Back when I was in high school, the dangerous radical in my English class was poet E.E. Cummings. No punctuation, no capital letters, great poems, but my teachers cautioned, "Don't try this at home, pal." Here's a bit of "Since Feeling Is First" by E.E. Cummings. Since feeling is first, who pays any attention to the syntax of things? Boy, it's like he was texting from the very, very beginning. And later in the same poem, he says, life's not a paragraph, and death, I think, is no parenthesis. We want to welcome back Andrew Simmons, high school English teacher from California, who wrote a piece in this week's Atlantic about how Facebook is making his students better writers, and Jessica Leahy, middle school Latin and English teacher who writes the parent-teacher conference column for the New York Times. So Jessica and Andrew, E.E. Cummings, is he a radical and does he kind of have it right? Feeling is first? Forget about syntax, Andrew.
I would agree with him that feeling is first when it comes to personal writing. The article I wrote was really focused on personal narrative writing. And I think conventions are incredibly important. Feeling has to be followed by a focus on the craft. But yes, I would agree with him that feeling is first. And before you have anything else, you need to have that feeling to start, that reflection and that emotional honesty.
Jessica, when I was in high school, of course, as I mentioned, E.E. Cummings was a dangerous radical, according to my English teachers, you know, no caps, limited punctuation. When I would say, can I do that? My teachers would say, you know, no. He wrote traditionally before he went there, pal. You've got to learn the rules. Jessica, what do you think about this idea that feeling precedes syntax on some level?
Well, E.E. Cummings also wrote another poem called Next to, of course, God, America, I, that also doesn't really use syntax and punctuation in the right way. But the problem is that entire poem is just one person spewing out a lot of things that sound great but don't have any actual meaning. And that's what I see a lot on the internet and in comments and in emails, a lot of stuff, a lot of noise without a lot of actual meaning. But I completely agree. Someone has to have the rules in order to learn how to bend them. And I also wrote an article for The Atlantic, and it was called Why Spelling Matters, because I think you have to know those basic rules of grammar and spelling in order to mess with them and make a statement with how you mess with them.
I'm wondering if you've said to one of your students ever, you know, dude, that's more like a text. Write it as a complete sentence. Andrew?
It happens once every day where I say, look, you know, when you write like this, I understand what you're trying to say. I do. And the person next to you might, but, you know, you need to understand who your audience is when you're writing academic writing. You understand that you may be judged for something other than your ideas or the feeling that you're putting into your writing, depending on what sort of writing application it is. You want to be judged for your ideas, not for your inability to spell or use punctuation properly. Absolutely. That happens every single day.
Jessica, how about you? Do you get a lot of ranters in your classes and you have to kind of tone them down a little bit? Feelings are fine, but, let's make it coherent. Let's make an argument.
I actually don't tend to get a lot of ranters. I focus mostly on persuasive essays and thesis-based writing. There isn't a lot of narrative stuff going on in my classroom, but that's because there are a lot of opportunities to do narrative and memoir-type writing out there. In middle school, we're really trying to solidify their basic skills, and when we deviate too much from, you know, the basic four-paragraph, three-paragraph, five-paragraph essay, it tends to throw them off track a little bit. So we try to stay as consistent as possible in middle school.
Do you think kids are writing more? And does that help in some way in other areas of writing?
I think it definitely helps in their keyboarding skills. I'm seeing younger kids with incredibly wonderful keyboarding skills, which helps a lot later on. Many boys in middle school tend to have issues with handwriting. So when they have handwriting issues, dysgraphia, that kind of stuff, it really is nice to be able to express themselves as quickly as their brain functions in middle school and high school when they can keyboard really well. So I think that's been a huge leap forward for many kids who are struggling to express themselves in writing.
Do you think candor is improved by social media, Jessica? And then I'd love to get your comments, Andrew.
I think it absolutely depends on the kid. The joke around our house is the most I can get out of my kid in a text is yes or no. So candor, sure. Brevity, sure. But I'm not getting a lot of information. We have to go back and forth quite a bit to get the actual information. And he's 15. So, you know, brevity, great. Content, not so much.
Andrew, what accounts for your students unburdening themselves so freely?
Well, you know, I don't think social media is the only reason why, but when I'm thinking about the large-scale social and cultural change that might have made today's students, today's 17-year-olds a little more apt to be revealing in personal narrative writing, I would say that social media has to have had an influence. And because I have a teacher Facebook page and students post things that I see occasionally when I log on, I have noticed that students will put themselves out there in a way that I don't think my peers and I would have when I went to high school in sort of the mid-90s. And I do think that translates to the classroom. I do think that social media can give people this sort of safe space. I know it's not a safe space for real, but when it comes to, you know, revealing something personal, a problem that's being faced, some sort of anxiety that's going on, sometimes students can do that on the internet and get a little bit of positive reinforcement. And then when time comes to write, maybe they'll take that next step, the writing. I actually think personal narrative writing is extremely important. I mean, it's in the Common Core standards, but aside from that, I think it's important for students to be able to express themselves as well as frame arguments and analyze literature and do, you know, research papers. I mean, I know high school is very different from middle school, but I think it's important not just because students should be able to have that skill, but also students should be able to have that outlet of taking raw feeling, raw ideas, reflection, and organizing it and making sense of it and expressing it to other people so they might get something from it too. That's a good exercise for students and a good academic exercise.
Final thought, Jessica?
The one problem that I have with students expressing themselves in unique ways online now is that I think there can be a situation in which there's less trust, because if we do our jobs correctly as teachers, we should teach our students that nothing is really private on the internet when you're posting online. So I'm going to still trust in that one-on-one relationship between the student and the teacher. I know that my students over the years have revealed incredibly difficult and anxiety-provoking emotions on those papers that they hand in to me and put with great trust into my hands. And I'm not sure that they would do that in the same way when putting it out there into the world for anyone to read.
And certainly the consequences would be different if it's published versus just given to a teacher. Well, it's safe to say, that both of you are really on the front lines of all the transformations and disruptions going on in language because of social media, by virtue of the fact that you're in the class with all these social media natives. Andrew and Jessica, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.